Well, good morning. Boy, it is so good to be in church this morning to see all of you, and excited about the day and what God has planned for all of us today. Amen. A couple of things that I want to go over with you this morning. I want to share a couple of announcements. First of all, I want to say thank you to all of you for Miracle Sunday last week. Wasn't that an amazing day? Let's give the Lord another praise. Amen. Oh, my goodness. Over $150,000. You are the most generous people that I've ever known. And you know, that's going to enable us to carry on when many of you are gone. But even more so, all that excess, we are going to be able to reach out for lost people through our missions giving. So thank you so very, very much. Thank you for being there. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support and your love and your commitment to Nettles Island Church. It's because of you that we'll be able to carry on and keep the work of God going until Jesus comes for us. So thank you. I also want to mention today that Tammy is all ready. She's got her camera. And several of you, many of you, are not in the church directory yet. And we need to get you in there. And some of you are leaving soon. And so Tammy's available right after the service today in the back porch. So if you just walk through either of these doors and go to the back porch, she'll take a picture. It's going to take about, less than a minute to get a couple of pictures, right? And so if you have not had your photo taken for the directory, please do that. It's very, very important to us and to me especially that if you're part of this church, even for part of the year, that we have you in our church directory. So Tammy will be available today to take care of that. The next thing is that it's just in the upcoming events, but there is another motorcycle fellowship ride that's coming up April the 3rd. That's this coming Thursday. We're going to be riding down to Hope Sound to grab some lunch, and we're going to meet right in the marina parking lot like we did last time at 10:15. Kickstands are up at 10:30. We're gone. To get there at 10:32, you'll have to try to find us. You have to speed to get to us. And so, but we want to invite you, if you ride bikes, trikes, I don't know, can we allow electric bicycles? Can they go they go pretty fast, don't they? But we're having another ride. We had such a great time a couple of weeks ago. Everybody said, you better do another one of these before we all leave. And so this is the one to try to get in before everybody gets gone. And the last thing that I want to share with you before we pray and open this service to our worship is, how many of you this morning, and I'm going to need you to count, you got another counter? All right, if you're going to be with us for Easter Sunday, all right, that's the third Sunday in April, you're going to be here worshiping with Nettles Island Church, would you lift a hand up and hold it up? We got guys counting across the room here, just keep your hands up. This will let us know whether when we can go to one service or if we need to keep two services. So once these guys let me know that they've got the count, we will have it set. We're still counting in the back. All right, very good. All right, hands. We get it? Don't forget. Write that down somewhere if it's me. All right, you guys are good. Thank you. Thank you so very, very much. Hey, let's take a moment. I don't know that we have anybody that's with us today as a new friend, a guest for the very first time, but if you are here today for the very first time at Nettles, we have a little promise book that looks like the one I'm holding in my hand, and I have those available at the back corner. There's a desk back in the right corner after the service today. Please stop by on your way out and introduce yourself to me. I would love to meet you, and I'd love to give you one of these little gifts as a token of our love and our appreciation for you. So God bless you today. Let's pray. Let's pray together. Amen. Father, we thank you and praise you for another opportunity to come and to gather before you. Lord, we're excited about what you have in store for us today as your people here at Nettles Island Church. And so, Lord, we ask you to bless this day and bless our lives. Father, we just take every burden and every need and every concern that we've come in with, and we lay it down at the foot of the cross so that we can exalt you. We can get our focus from us to you. And then as we do that and as we worship you, we're asking, Holy Spirit, that you would just move in a mighty way and minister to each and every one of us. We give you our hearts and our lives in this service, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's worship together.
Amen. In Psalms 104, it says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. We're going to start off with He has made me glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. Sing with us this morning. Enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. I'll enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Sing, he has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Sing, this is the day. Oh, this is the day. Yes, this is the day that the Lord has made. That the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad in it.
And be glad in it. Yes,
this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made.
One more time.
Oh, sing, this is the day. Yes, this is the day that the Lord has made.
That the Lord has made.
I will rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad in it.
And be glad in it.
This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day,
yes,
this is the day that the Lord hath made.
Amen. We have a lot to be thankful for, don't we, this morning? Amen, amen. Let's sing, give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Amen. Let's sing this morning.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. And let the poor say, I am rich. All because the Lord has done for us. Give thanks.
Amen, amen. Would you stand with me as we worship in another song this morning? This song is going to be a little bit new to some of you. I know some of you know it. It's entitled Gratitude. And if you haven't noticed, the theme is we're singing it about just our thanksgiving to the Lord because he's done so much for us. Amen. After last week, it just amazes me what the Lord can do. And this song is just entitled Gratitude. And the chorus says, I throw up my hands and I praise you again and again, because all that I have is a hallelujah. We don't have much to offer him, but we can give him our praise this morning. So praise him this morning as we sing this song.
All my words fall short, I got nothing new, and how could I express all my gratitude? And I could sing these songs like I often. Every song must end, and you never do. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah. I've got just one move, with my arms stretched wide, and I will worship you. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else fit for a king except for a heart singing hallelujah. Hallelujah. So come on, my soul, don't you get shy on me, lift up your, 'cause you got a lion inside of those lungs, get up and praise the Lord. Come on, my soul, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song, 'cause you got a lion inside of those lungs, get up and praise the Lord. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else fit for a king except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah.
Sing that chorus one more time.
So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. It's not much, nothing else fit for a king except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to your name. We're going to pray this morning for those that are battling with different situations, and our prayer list is here. If you would like to be seated, you may be seated. We're going to pray and trust God. We want to lift up Millie Young this morning. She's had a pretty rough week with some congestion and some issues with breathing, and she's a fighter. She's a trooper. She's trusting God. We're going to believe God with her. And of course, you look at the list of needs that are here, and many, many, many needs. And then also, just in the last few weeks, I think it was 2 weeks ago, Judy Stigarda went home to be with the Lord. And so we want to remember her family. We're thankful that she's home. We're thankful that she hasn't a worry and a care in this world anymore. Aren't you glad today that if you know Jesus Christ, that home is there, not here? We're sojourners and we're passing through. God is so faithful, and it's just amazing. It's just wonderful to be able to exalt the Lord as we did in song, and to throw up our hands and sing a hallelujah to the Lord. He really is all that we have, and He's all that we need. So we trust Him together today. I ask, as I do many times, how many of you today with the lifting up of a hand would say to the Lord, Lord, remember me. I've got a burden I've got to leave at your feet today. Cross this room. Sure, cross this room. God sees your hands. He sees your heart. He hears your heart cry in the middle of the night. He knows what's going on. He's aware. And He's at work. A lot of times we don't think it's fast enough because we like instant everything. We're the microwave generation. But God doesn't always work things in a hurry, but He works them out for our benefit, for our good. All things work together for good. All things. So let's go to prayer this morning and join me. Let your faith come together with my faith this morning as we pray for needs in this bulletin and your needs that were lifted up today to the Lord. Father, I thank you. I thank you this morning for so many things, but I thank you for Jesus. I thank you that you gave us your very best. You gave us everything when you gave us yourself and your Son. He came to this earth and He lived and He was perfect in every way. He did what we couldn't do. And then He went to the cross and died on the cross in our place for our sins, so that we could have eternity with you. We could know you as our Father, that we could have fellowship with you. And Lord, we thank you for that today. And we thank you that if you would care that much to want us to spend our eternity with you, you are mindful of everything that's going on in our lives. Every situation that, Lord, is in front of us today. Every burden, every care, every worry, every stress, every heartache this morning. God, you're aware of all of that. And I'm thankful that we can come to you and we can trust in you, that you not only will hear us and love us and wrap arms around us, but you have the power and the authority today. You can stop the wind and the waves. You can change the course of nature. And God, if you can do all of that, certainly you can work in our lives with whatever the situation. Father, we lift up Millie Young this morning. God, that you would move in her life right now, that you would breathe health and strength and life into those lungs, that even as we're agreeing together as a church body, a family, that God, that you would intervene in her midst, that when her girls go home today, that they would see a marked change in their mom, that health is coming and moving into her body. Father, we pray this morning for every other need on this prayer list. God, I lay my hands on it, and we just lift it up to you, every name, every person, Lord. How precious in your sight are they, O God. And their needs are great, but Lord, you're greater. So, Father, whether it's healing or whether it's a miracle or whether it's financial or whether it's relationship, God, whatever the situation might be, for some peace of mind or joy or hope, God, in the name of Jesus, we lay these people before your throne today. We ask you to move and to minister in their lives. Father, for those that lifted a hand that are here today that came in with that burden, God, you know the need. God, I pray that you just put your arms around them in this service. God, that they'll feel your presence. They'll know, God, that they're in the presence of the Almighty, the one who has the power to move heaven and earth on their behalf. God, let our faith rise up this morning. God, all things are by faith, Lord. You move because we believe in what you say. And so, God, I pray that you'll move today as we trust in you. Lord, we just give you all the praise and the glory for it all in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you for joining with the prayer this morning, your faith and your heart. And I just encourage you, you know, take the bulletin home with you. Put this thing wherever you'll see it. For me, that's on the front of the refrigerator. But put it where you'll see it. When you come by it, just, you don't have to pray long and hard and spend hours. You can. That would be wonderful. But when you walk by it, just put your hand on it and say, Father, I bless these, our family in Jesus' name. Touch them, heal them, restore them, make them whole in Jesus' name. And as we do that as a church, watch and see what God's going to do in our midst as we're continuous in our faithfulness to pray and to seek the Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning, before we get into the Word, we've got a special event, a special moment in the service. This is Membership Sunday. We have, in the last several weeks, been offering an opportunity for membership. And this morning, in both services, we have eight individuals, members of our church, that are coming into full membership. We love everybody here, and if you come to church here and you've never made a commitment to join into membership, that's not the most important thing. You're just as important. But there's something about stepping into a commitment and saying, this is where I want to belong, this is where I want to work, this is where I want to serve the Lord, this is where I want to come alongside other believers. And we've got eight wonderful, wonderful people that have made a commitment, five in this service. But I want to read something to you. The Bible says, or somebody wrote this, not really the Bible, but somebody wrote it, and it is biblical in its content. It says the church, or the ecclesia, and the word ecclesia is the Greek word that just means church. The ecclesia is the called out ones. It's the New Testament institution, a divinely ordained work of God. The Bible speaks of the ecclesia as including all of the redeemed of all time and all places. It also speaks of the ecclesia in terms of a local congregation, Nettles Island Church. The Bible teaches that the ecclesia is the temple of God, of which individuals are living stones built up as a holy habitation for God. It's also a body of which Christ is the head, and a family, the members of which are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We're part of the family of God. If you're saved this morning, if you're visiting today from, and this is the only Sunday, but you're part of a church, because of your salvation into the family of God, you're part of the ecclesia, you're part of the family. But we're excited today to be able to welcome and to honor some of our very own. And so as I call your name, would you come and stand right here facing the congregation? First of all, Sherry Gartside. Sherry, would you come? Gary and Tammy Palinkas. Pat Pearson. Last but not least in this service, June Sifrar. Amen. I'm going to come on down with you folks. Isn't this beautiful? Isn't this amazing? Welcome. God bless you. This is your certificate. Welcome to our church family as a member. Oh, Gary, Tammy, sorry. Gary, thank you and welcome. Pat, bless you. Welcome. June, God bless you. It's a blessing to have all of you. Would you do me a favor and stand one more time? We're going to just pray for them, and then we're going to just give the Lord praise. We're going to welcome them into our family this morning. But thank you. Thank you, family. We love you. We appreciate you. And you've been part of the family, but this is just that next step where you're saying, hey, I'm really committing myself to this body of believers. And you know what? All of these folks out here, we're committed to you as well. And we're family. And when one rejoices, the Bible says we all rejoice. When one goes through trials and tribulations or suffers, what happens? We come alongside and we help out. Anybody ever hit their thumb with a hammer? What did the other hand do immediately? It either grabbed your thumb or it grabbed your wrist, and then it went right into your mouth. And you were 3 years old again for just a little while. See, that's the body taking care of the body when there's a need. And so we care for you just as we care for each one that's here today. And so let's bless them with prayer. Let's ask God to just enrich them as they take this next step. You know, when you step forward into something a little more deeper in the things of God, there's always a blessing that comes along with that. We want that blessing for these folks today. So let's pray. Father, I thank you today for Sherry and Gary and Tammy and for Pat and for June. I thank you, Lord, that you are a faithful God. You are the God of the ecclesia. The church isn't man's idea, it's God's idea. You began the church, as we'll learn today and remind ourselves today in the book of Acts. You started the church because, Jesus, you were heading home and you left the responsibility of ministry to us. And so, Father, I thank you that we are part of that body through Jesus Christ, through our salvation. But Father, there is something about belonging. There's something about commitment and joining. And Father, when we take that step of commitment, that just moves your heart in a deeper, greater way even toward us. And I pray for these folks that are standing before us. Lord, I pray blessing upon them. I pray that you would enrich them, first of all, spiritually, and then physically and financially and emotionally and relationally. God, that their lives would just experience such great blessing because they've made this fresh and this new step, this commitment unto you. And Father, as a congregation, we receive them today, and we honor you and we honor them, and we give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Would you join me in welcoming them this morning? God bless you. Amen. 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 As they take their seats, would you sing this little chorus with us? And you might want to shake a hand of somebody nearby, but when you see them today, welcome them into the family today. God bless you. Amen. I'm a part of the family of God. What do you need a drink?
It blew on the thing.
Yes, join us with Jesus as we travel this time. We'll be part of the family, do it one more time, Steve. Sing it with us. I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain and cleansed by his blood. Join us, Jesus, as we travel this earth. I'm a part of the family of God.
Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. I want to welcome my brother Bill with us today. He came in. I didn't realize he was coming, but he fills in for us some Sundays when I'm out of town. So wave a hand at everybody, Bill. Say hi to everybody. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, listen, it's Membership Sunday, and so I've chosen to share a message this morning that I'm calling A Place to Belong. A Place to Belong. If you have your Bibles, let's go to Acts chapter 2, reading out of the NIV this morning. But as we're turning there, I want to just start this with a thought. Some of you will remember this, but there was a popular television show that aired weekly back in the early 1980s all the way to 1993 on NBC. It had 11 seasons, and the name of that show was called Cheers. Some of you may not have been allowed to watch that because of the setting of it. But I want to just mention something from that today, and it really is applicable or apropos to A Place to Belong, the title of my message. The theme song in that is really kind of a cool song, if you could just take it out of the setting that it's in. And in that song, it says, you want to be where you can see that troubles are all the same. You want to be where everyone knows your name. Now, that little thought right there, taking it away from the show and all of that, is something that's really biblical, that concept. And so a place to belong, and we're so thankful for our new members today, those that were here, and then second service we'll have some more. But that show resonated with viewers because it touched a need that we all feel, to know and to be known. And I just wonder if the pool of the neighborhood bar is often not the alcohol and the beverages that they serve, but it's the friendship that it offers. It's that camaraderie that people go there and they get to know the other people, and they'll go there after work or they'll go there on the weekends. And you know, I'm not advocating that we go there, okay? Just understand that. But I'm just saying that there's something that's drawing people, especially people that don't know who the Lord is, and they don't know that they can come to a place like Nettles Island Church and find that where our troubles are all, if they're not all the same, we take each other's troubles on, and when we work to learn to know each other and to have fellowship and relationship. And so I think the pool was this friendship that it offers to them. And it claims to be where the troubles are the same and their names are known. I was looking this week as I was preparing, and I came across another illustration about Vietnam POWs. And back in the Vietnam War area, the government was surveying the prisoners of war that were coming home, that they were able to get out and free and release. And they wanted to discover what the worst part of their confinement was. And they wanted to know, was it the torture? And the answer was no. Was it an attempt to brainwash them and turn their minds and change how they think? And the answer was no, that wasn't the worst part. You know what the worst part was? It was the isolation. The months on end and the forced separation, where they would put them in small little cages and separate them one from the other, and they couldn't see their comrades in arms. They couldn't see their other soldiers and talk and fellowship, and they were isolated. And more than anything else, that drove the POWs to the brink of despair. We shouldn't be surprised at that, since we know that God has made us to be social creatures. No man is an island to themselves, and we're not made to live entirely alone. We were made for friendship. We were made for family. We were made for deepening and caring relationships. And when we don't find that, we search high and we search low until we seem to find it, and we won't stop looking until we do. Our souls are searching for a place to belong. Now, we find this truth in the New Testament within the early church. And in the book of Acts, it offers us a brief snapshot, a picture of what Christianity looked like in the very beginning. And it was a place to belong. It was a place that was created by God to meet this deep spiritual and emotional and social need that man has. So let's take a look. If you have your Bibles, or be on the screen here. And it's Acts chapter 2, verses 41 through 47, and it says this. It says, those who accepted his message, Peter was preaching, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that one day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together, fellowship, belonging. They were all together and had everything in common, and some even sold property and possessions to give to everyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those that were being saved. That's a wonderful picture of the very first days of the church. You know, the church started in the upper room. You know that. When the disciples were there and some of the other folks, the Bible tells us that there were 120 individuals that were there praying and waiting. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and out they came, and Peter preached to the crowd, the masses of people, and the church was born that day, and 120 turned into 3,120 in just about an hour's worth of time as Peter was preaching. I'm amazed at the details that are in this little passage of Scripture, the first verse and the last verse. The first verse says that the church began and there were 3,000 conversions. And the last verse that we just read says that they were being saved daily. They were coming into fellowship. Why? Because people are looking for hope. People are looking for an answer. People need to know that there's some place where they can go, where they can belong, and they can feel that they're at home. And that's what part of the design of the church is all about. So what's a great church look like? A place where you would want to belong. What does it look like? Here is a brief synopsis from our text that we read. First of all, a great church is founded on the Word of God. And then it's devoted to prayer. It expresses vibrant worship. It promotes caring relationships. And it ministers to people who have needs. Those five elements are found right here in this particular passage. But for the sake of time today, I'm going to cover just the first three. And I'll tell you what, I'm not saying that we've arrived, because I don't know that any church has ever arrived at this. But we are working on this, and there are some areas that we're very strong in, and some that we want to even keep working to improve in. Maybe we're not as strong as in other areas. But I can tell you this much, the number four and the number five that I'm not really talking about today, this church, just, I don't really need to talk about those at all, I don't think, because I think that we do promote a caring, concerned relationship. It's something that I've seen since I've been here, and then when there are needs, and those needs are evident, the church picks up and ministers and meets to those needs, whatever source they might be from. So I want to talk about these first three this morning, and the first one is, a great church is grounded solidly in the Word of God. Now, Luke is the writer of the book of Acts, and he reports that the early believers devoted themselves. I like that word, devoted. It's in your Bible, devoted, committed. It might be different in a different translation, but they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Now, what were the apostles teaching? Well, they were teaching the Word of God. They were teaching the Scriptures. They were taking the Old Testament, the Bible that they had, the Old Testament, and they were bringing it into their day, and they were showing how Jesus was active in that and in the prophetic parts and all the others, and they were teaching them the things that Christ had taught to them, and they were teaching them the life of Christ that they had experienced those 3 years that they walked with Him. Those 12 disciples, they were with Jesus every day. I mean, that's why they're disciples. He discipled them. They moved with Him. Where He stopped, they stopped. When He ate, they ate. When He rested, they rested. And so they learned to know Him by His example. They learned to know Him by His teaching and His words, and they learned to know the Word of God as He would proclaim that Word of God. They prioritized, this early church prioritized, knowing the truth. Now this means that the Word of God, to us, this means that the Word of God has got to be the foundation of the church and for every believer. This Bible that you and I hold in our hands, this is the Word of God. It's truth. It doesn't change. God says, I'm the Lord your God. I change not. I don't change my ways. I don't change my habits. I don't change my thinking. I don't change who I am, how I am. And if you read it in here, you can count on it and you can trust it. It's truth. It's the Word of God. You see, when we come together to worship the Lord, it's not for hype's sake. There are churches that hype it all up. There are churches, it's all about showmanship, and there are churches where it's nothing but extreme emotionalism. But churches that are honoring the Lord are churches that they give the highest priority, placing it upon the Bible, the Word of God. A place where we come to discover and to apply the truth of what God has to say about all the matters of life, all the matters. You see, Jesus said it this way. He said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free," or make you free. The truth makes us free. And where do we get truth? Do we decide, "I'm the guy who has all the truth, come to Rob and he'll just tell you"? Or do we go to a place where we know that there's absolute truth? See, we know that in America today, we've all lived long enough. We've seen life. We've seen times that were really good times. And we know that we're in a stressful time, a stressful segment in American culture. We're in a cultural war that challenges both our Christian values today as well as our religious freedoms. All those things are out there on the line. The criticisms and the confrontations upon Christianity are increasing and happening almost daily. You can open up your news app on your phone. You can watch it on TV. If you watch world news, and you'll see it's in America, it's in other places. There is really an affront or an attack that's coming against what you and I believe, this Word of God and the truth and who Jesus is and what He's done for us. And as our nation continues in its moral decline and our culture continues to shift away from absolute truth, we will see it adversely affecting morality and biblical beliefs upon which this nation was founded. You're going to see it. A pastor by the name of Chip Ingram is a best-selling author. In a book that he wrote called Culture Shock, he said this. He said, "Traditional values have been increasingly abandoned as our culture has moved toward moral relativism." You know that, and I know that this morning. This means that our culture is trying to tell us that absolute truths are obsolete, that we're fools to believe absolute anything, and that everything is relative. It's your experience. It's my experience. And if yours is different than mine, that's your truth. This is my truth. And let's just all try to figure out how to get along. And if something is relative, then truth is perceived through that person's experience. And I'm here to tell you that the only solid, absolute truth that you'll always have that will never change is found in this book. It's right here. You see, absolute truth is unchanging truth, whether or not we agree with it. And God's given us His standards and His absolute truths in the Word. Examples are like this: "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart." Little King James in there for you King Jamesers. "Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery." We're to love God. We're not to kill. We're not to murder people. We're not to steal from one another. We're not to commit adultery. Those are absolutes. Those don't change just because culture says, "Well, you know, if we tweak it this way, if we look at it that way, we can make the changes." No, the Bible has admonished us in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 not to allow the world to squeeze us into its mold. It says it like this: "Do not be conformed to the patterns or the ways or the thinking of the world, but be transformed." How do we get transformed? By the renewing of our minds. How do we renew our minds? We spend time in this book, in the Word of God. If you want to have absolute truth, if you want to have a life that will not be perfect and void of difficulties and problems and things, but if you want to have a good life, if you want to have peace in your life, then stick with the Word of God and the absolutes. You see, the Word of God's under attack today. We see it in the cultural stand on subjects like the sanctity of life issue. Our world for a lot of years has changed the course on that, but we at Nettles Island stand firm. Homosexuality and transgender rights issues are out there, and they're trying to, you know, it's so funny. It's like, it's not that you and I go out there and go, "How dare you act like this or think like this?" We're called to love people and speak the truth in love. But we don't go out there and say, if you don't change, like in some other religious cultures, if they find someone's a homosexual, they throw them off the roof of the highest building in town. But isn't it interesting that you and I in this church can take a stand and say we stand with absolutes here, and the world and the culture around us will get mad at us, they'll get upset with us, they'll come after us, they try to mold us and shape us. They're not content to say, "Well, I believe this and I understand you believe." No, they want us pulled in and sucked into their belief system because they feel like that validates them or something. The loss of freedom of speech regarding biblical viewpoints. I shared an illustration some time ago. I think it was out in either Oregon or Washington now. I don't remember exactly where, but there was a transgender event that was happening in a community park. And some Christians from a youth group, young people in their teens, went and stood on the sidewalk outside of the park and just quietly were praying. The police were called. They showed up and they arrested the 15-year-old boy that was the one that was kind of in charge. They put him in handcuffs. I saw the video of it, and they took him off to jail. This group has freedom of speech, but if you're a Christian, we're quickly losing our freedom of speech. In London, I believe it was, I just saw this last week, this is fresh news, where they are so strong on abortion rights over there right now, they've put these big boundaries for blocks around abortion clinics, and you as a Christian cannot go there and stand there. Certainly you can't speak out and try to save a lady or give her a different point of view. You can't go to them and say, well, we're just going to stand here and sing some choruses and we're going to pray. In England right now, they are arresting people that are standing on the sidewalk inside that perimeter that they've made, that are just standing there with their heads bowed and not saying a word. They're praying silently. The police are coming up and saying, you're praying, you're going to jail. And they're cuffing them and they're taking them off to jail. It's just a matter of time. We've got to stand for absolutes in our lives. You see, in a current article, George Barna describes faith and cultural trends that are going to emerge in 2025 that will reshape people's views of God. And he said this. He said, Americans will continue to move away from biblical characterization of God toward imaging and following a God they perceive to be more accepting and less demanding. There's a lot more, but I don't have time to go through all of that today. You know, so here we are in this cultural war, and you and I need to be warriors for Christ. That doesn't mean we're going out and attacking people, but we stand for truth, and we stand and we're not afraid to speak when the opportunity presents. If somebody asks you, the Bible says it this way, always be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh of you. Give an answer to how they can know Jesus. Give an answer to why he is the truth and the way and the life. Give an answer to why he made this book, and these, if we follow the precepts of this book and this word, you and I are going to live a good life. You see, everything that's in there is not to keep us from having fun. It's like if you have a five-year-old child and that little boy or girl gets a brand new bike and you say, Johnny, I don't want you to go anywhere off of this sidewalk. You can go from here to here. Don't you dare go out into the street. You know why you don't want him in the street, right? You know, you want them home tonight. You want them alive. You want them to grow up and have a great life. And so you put a parameter around them. And that's sometimes what people say, well, why is God so hard on people? Why does he steal all our fun? He's not stealing our fun. He's protecting us so that we can live in peace and joy and hope and life and all of those other things. And so the Word of God, a great church is a church that preaches the Word of God. It doesn't compromise like many churches, even in America, are compromising today. The second thing is a great church sees the power of God through prayer. We need the power of God in our midst. We're not just here to come and give an hour and sing a few songs and Rob better be on time and preach something that keeps me awake and then send me home and then I've done my duty for the week. It's not about that at all. But we come together as a group and we bring our faith together and we're believing that God's presence and God's anointing and God's power is going to settle in because we have needs and we have circumstances and we have situations and we need God. We need him to show up in our lives. The early church, they were a church of praying people. The Bible says that they emphasized prayer. They emphasized this in Acts 2, they were devoted to prayer. And as a people devoted to prayer, our prayers should be much more than just words we mouth on a Sunday morning. They've got to be steadfast and committed to interceding for others and asking God for strength in our own lives to live for him and to serve him and to make him known. The early church was devoted to prayer, and look at the result in verse 43. It says, everyone was filled with awe. They were awestruck. All of a sudden, they went, God is awesome. They understood the power of God, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. Great things were done because they were in awe together. I wonder if those things shouldn't somehow go together. Maybe prayer is the foundation that allows the presence and the power of God to come down, that makes our jaws drop open and we're awestruck with Almighty God. through what he's doing in our midst, in those signs or wonders or his presence in our lives. Now, I know it's possible, and I'll say this to go off tangent about signs and wonders, and some of us in the church, we get so afraid of everything that's not just nicely packaged and tight. And it is possible to go off on a tangent. I know people that all they do is go to every meeting all over America where the certain person is, and they, oh, this guy's going to give a word to me, this guy's going to lay hands, this guy's going to wave his coat or his hand, and people are going to fall all over the place, and people run to all of that. And so I realize that there are tangents in this, but what if it's possible to go on a tangent in an unbelieving direction? In an unbelieving direction. To take God and his majesty and his power and his glory and his ability and all the things that he says he wants to do in our lives and go, well, I'm not going anywhere near any of that. I'll just sit here and I'll just have this very conservative, I'll never expect anything. God save me. I'm going to heaven. That's all that matters. So, you know, I'm not going to believe for anything. I want this church to believe for God to do dynamic work in us. We need him. Look at our prayer list. We need the miraculous of God. The Bible says in Psalm 103 that don't forget his benefits. He forgives our sin. He saves us. He heals us of our diseases. He gives us joy. I mean, that's Old Testament. It was prophesying of what would happen. Why would we look at the stripes that Jesus took upon his back and say, that's not effective for me today? How does that malign that he took stripes on the way to being crucified on the cross for our physical healing? 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes we were healed. We can believe for those things. This church was praying and God was moving and they were awestruck in wonder at the majesty and the power and the glory of God. I will say that there's a balance that's needed. There are people, like I said, that run after and they chase all of these things. They're not even seeking God. They're just seeking the hands of God, what God can do, or the excitement or the energy, or you know, it's like what I said earlier about that they come in and it just becomes a big show. We're not here to show off anybody. We're just here to exalt and lift up Jesus. Jesus said in Mark 11:17, he said, my house will be called a house of prayer to all the nations. That's what he wants from us. We need to really bear down on our prayer time. And we need to, as time is getting worse, as culture is getting worse, we need to be lifting up prayers even more and spending time in prayer. You see, in God's economy, nothing works. Nothing succeeds without prayer. It's prayer. It's prayer. I want to commit to praying more than I'm praying now. As I studied this out, I said, God, just help me to even bear down even more. And I encourage you, and that's what makes a great church. And then number three, a great church has life-transforming worship. Vibrant worship was a part of the early church. Now, they didn't sing the songs we sing. They didn't have hymn books like we do. And, of course, we don't anymore, but we just put the words up on the screen. But they didn't have hymn books. They had psalms from the Old Testament. And they would worship and they would sing. And the Bible says in verse 47 that they were worshipers. They were praising God. This whole passage that I read from verse 41 through verse 47, it suggests a sustained atmosphere where when the people got together, they came praising and worshiping, and it permeated that early church. You see, praise and worship opens the heart and the mind of believers to the Word of God and to our increasing our faith, and it transforms us and makes us to be like Jesus. Why? Because the Bible says that God inhabits the praises of His people. When we're worshiping God, when we come together and as we sit, or when we stand, when we're asked to stand, as we sing, you know, some of us raise our hands, some of you don't. I realize we're from all different walks. We've been trained all togetherly different. But I'm going to encourage you. I'm not going to tell you how to worship. That would be wrong. But I'm going to encourage you to listen to the Spirit of God in your heart. And if there's ever a song, and maybe you've never raised a hand in worship, the Bible talks about lifting up holy hands to the Lord. We can do that. That's not out of line in a worship service. It's a good thing. It's a surrender thing. Hands going up is a surrender to the Lord. I'm not saying you have to do that. I know that we come from different backgrounds. Some folks come into church and all they do is it's the quietest place. But I can tell you this much, I've met enough of you guys that I know that you have your favorite team, and mine's the Steelers. And when the Steelers, they haven't won in so long, you need to pray for them. I can't get too excited about them these days. But I can remember days when they were winning Super Bowls, and when they were, and you're cheering and you're shouting and you're jumping out of your seat, and your Coca-Cola in the glass goes flying across the room, and your mom's mad at you because you settle down. We get so excited about things, and then we come to church and it's like, well, we can't get excited about Jesus. I got news for you. There's going to be a lot of shouting and excitement when we get to heaven. It's not going to be some little quiet place where we all just walk in and sit down and there's going to be moments of that. The Bible talks about a silence in heaven for a period of time. There's going to be all of it, all of it. These folks knew how to worship, and they began to worship, and they would sing, and they would praise, and they would exalt the Lord. And I tell you, singing isn't for our entertainment or making us feel better. When we lift our voices to God, we lift our voices to God, it possesses great power to bring God's anointing and God's presence into the atmosphere, into the situation. God's presence and power settles in with us. As I mentioned earlier, God inhabits the praises of His people. But I wish I could finish this up. But let me just say this one thing. I just wonder this. What would happen if we all came together next Sunday, prayed up with thoughts and anticipation of what God is going to do as we lift up the name of Jesus in worship? Not telling you how to worship, but what if we came prepared? What if we came excited to be here? What if we got here and said, God, what are you going to do today? I'm so excited to be in your midst. This is how that church worshiped the Lord. And as I close this morning, what made the church of Acts so attractive, it comes down to one thing, just one thing. They shared a common faith in Jesus Christ that enabled them to love God and love one another. Do you remember the command Jesus gave? Just one. And then he kind of broadened it out. He said, you got all these commands, I'll give you one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Oh, and love your neighbor as yourself. I read this just in the middle of the night last night, and I close with this. It's called You Can Sit With Me. You got hammered at the bar on Saturday but came to church on Sunday. You can sit with me. You're right where you need to be. You're a drug addict but came to church on Sunday. You can sit with me. You're right where you need to be. You're divorced and the last church you attended condemned you for it. You can sit with me. You're right where you need to belong. Oh, you had an abortion and it's slowly eating away at your heart, but you came to church on Sunday. You can sit with me. You're right where you need to be. You've been unfaithful to your spouse, but you came to church on Sunday. You can sit with me. You're right where you need to be. You see, here's the thing. People don't come to church on Sunday for us to sit in a pew and quietly judge them because we feel that we're better than them or superior to them. People come to church because their deepest and darkest and most painful moments, because in those moments they've heard about a man named Jesus who could save their soul, and they'd like to be like him. They'd like to know him. Mark chapter 2, verse 17, on hearing this, Jesus said, it is not the healthy that need a doctor, it's the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but the sinner. Three keys that reveal the power of the early church. They were unified. They were magnified. Or they magnified God. And then they were multiplied. Unified, magnified, and multiplied. This is God's plan. That's a great church. And it's God's plan today. And I thank you, Nettles Island Church, because I know that it's your desire and mine to be all that God wants us to be. And can I say we're on the road, we're on the journey. We're doing some things really well. There's some room for improvement, always will be, till we get to heaven. But if we'll do those things we've talked about today, if we'll come together, stand on the Word of God, if we'll start to pray like we've never prayed before, And if we'll worship God with all of our heart, spirit, and truth, you'll stand back and be amazed at what God will do in this church, in this community, and in our lives and in our families. Stand with me and let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness and mercy today. Thank you for loving us so much. Thank you, Lord, that you're a faithful God. God, you show us in the Bible how you want the church to be, and we are a people that want what you want. Our hearts are for you, God. Our hearts are after you this morning. And so, God, I thank you, Lord, that we are a church that we're growing. We're moving in the direction we need to move in. We're a church that loves you, God. We love you with all of our hearts. We just want to serve you, and we want to be people that will know and share the truth of your word. Help us to pray more, and God, help us to be people that not just come on Sunday morning and give a 15-minute segment of this hour to worship, but God, that we're worshiping through our week. We're loving, we're honoring, we're blessing the name of Jesus. We're singing, even if it's to ourselves and off-key. We're singing, making melody in our hearts to the Lord. Father, bless this congregation today. Bless them, use them, keep them, anoint them, empower them for your glory. And Lord, let Nettles Island Church truly be a church where people want to come because it's a place where they know that they can belong. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Sing with me as we go this morning, Because He Lives.
Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know, yes, I know, He holds the future, and life is worth living just because He lives.
Father, bless your people as we go. Let your hand rest upon us. Keep us close. Let the goodness of God flow into us and out. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have the best week. Hey, if you're new today, I'll see you in the back. I've got a